Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the book of Ezra. We're learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And I think we'll finish chapter 7 today. Looks like we're on pace for that. Remember that we've been reading the decree of King Artaxasta, the Persian king, who may also be Darius, who is sending Ezra back to Israel. He has already sent Ezra back to Israel. And what we're reading, this decree, is a decree of support and really remarkable largesse. He's helping out Ezra in a magnificent way. We've talked about what the motivations are for it. We've talked about Hashem manipulating, essentially, the kings of this period to get them to support the project of the Jews coming back to Israel and building the Beis HaMikdash. We talked about whether Artaxasta believes he's doing it for selfish reasons personally. I want you guys to daven for my family, something we'll see again today, and whether it's nationally selfish, so to speak, or self-interested at any rate, as he is branding the Beis HaMikdash as the Persian government's Beis HaMikdash for the God of the heavens. So yesterday we saw the mission that Ezra has, really a two-part mission, one being to teach the people Torah, and number two, to reinforce this Beis HaMikdash, right? He was supposed to look after the Jews and their religion. We saw that in chapter 7, sentence 14. And then in sentences 15 to 20, to bring money and purchase materials for the needs of the Beis HaMikdash and whatever else Ezra thinks is important. Here now we get specific materials and quantities that are going to be offered. We're up to chapter 7, sentence 21, where Artaxasta says, essentially, I have given the order for my officers to give you whatever you deem necessary. Umini ana Artaxasta Malka, and from me, Artaxasta the king, sim to aim, the order is given, l'chol gizavraya, dibavar nahara, to all the gizbarim, to all the officers in charge of treasuries in the region beside the river, anything that is asked of you by Ezra the Kohen, the sofer, we've talked about the meaning of sofer, I'm not going back to that right now, the sofer of the law of the God of the heavens, whatever he asks of you, asparna yisavid, should be done immediately, should be done very quickly at any rate. And then we're told, ad kisaf kakrin me'ah, up to 100 kikar of silver, v'ad chintin koren me'ah, up to 100 kur of wheat, v'ad chamar batin me'ah, and up to 100 bat is a liquid volume measure, of wine, v'ad batin meshach me'ah, and up to 100 batin of oil, umalach dila chesav, and salt, not even recorded. The sky's the limit. Whatever is required. So one of the questions that gets asked here is the question of when he says up to 100, is that a limit? How am I supposed to read when he says up to 100 of this, up to whatever of that? It's especially odd because in chapter 6, he just said, whatever you want, birds, animals, wheat, salt, whatever it was. He just said, whatever you want, I'm sending. So what happened here? So there are two different ways to read the text. One way to read it, which is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, is yes, there is actually a limit. Even though he said, I am with you and I am supporting you and my relationship with you is ironclad and so on. And nonetheless, he puts a cap on the support that he is willing to provide. And that's the read, again, of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Dalet Amud Aleph, when the Gemara there tries to say that the Persian king was originally supportive, but then he went bad. Remember, they lumped together Cyrus, Darius, Artaxasta as being at first Melech Kosher, a kosher king, and then they went bad, and they see this as evidence. There are four pieces of evidence that are brought. The one piece of evidence was the fact that the king asked the Jews to daven for him, so that made it seem like it was selfish. Another piece of evidence was the embedding of wood in the walls, which suggested he was planning to burn the Beis HaMikdash in the event that they would do something he didn't like. Third example is this one, putting a cap on the supplies. And the fourth example has to do with the word shegel, which we'll see, God willing, in the beginning of the book of Nehemiah. But this is taken here as a sign that he's no longer as supportive as he once was. He's putting a cap on the support that he is willing to send. That's all one approach. The other approach here is the simple read, which is what Mitzudas David says, which is that when it says up to this, up to 100 bot of wine, up to 100 bot of oil, you know, up to 100 kor of wheat, whatever it is, it isn't a limit. It's even give this in the event that Ezra asks for it. If he asks for 100 of this, give it to him. If he has 100 of that, give it to him. It's not unlike the discussion about Esther's promise to Ahasuerus's promise to Esther. When he says, Ad chatzi ha-malchus v'sayos, he says, whatever you want, up to half the kingdom, it will be done for you. So there are two ways you could read it. There is the Medrash way, like the Gemara's read here, which is to say, it's a cap. I'm going to give you up to half the kingdom. However, the other way to read it is, I would even give you half the kingdom. So similarly here, I would even give you 100 bot of this. I would even give you 500 units of that. So unclear. You could really read it both ways. The pshat read is probably, it's not a limit. The Medrash is saying this is indeed a limit. Okay, one other note here from Professor Mordechai Zer Kavod. In terms of the volume that's being given here and all the money that was promised that we read about yesterday, all of the silver and gold that he pledged. So Professor Zer Kavod looks at the taxes in the region that were collected at that time. Herodotus, the Greek historian, tells you, it's Herodotus book 3, 1 second, I have it here. Where did I put it? Yeah, Herodotus book 3, chapters 89 and 90 in the Godly edition, says that the taxes collected in this entire region were 350 kikar, 350 talents. So he says, we're seeing here a pledge which started off in sentence 22 of 100 silver talents. So he says, if they were receiving their entire tax contribution from this region was 350 talents, to say that they gave 100 of that for the Jews for the Beis HaMikdash, it seems like an exaggeration. That's what he thinks. He also thinks that you don't need this much for the Korbanos, although I'm not clear what his source is on that. In any case, a pledge of a great deal of support, perhaps with a cap on it. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, sentence 23. Kol di mintam elaka shmai yis aved. All of this, by order of the God of heaven, shall be done. Ad razda lebeis elaka shmaya. Ad razda, according to most commentators, is like zerizin. It means it will be done energetically for the house of God. The Malbim says something different here. The Malbim says, based on Arabic, that Adrazda is actually a seal. And the instruction here is for them to prepare a seal, the seal of the Beis HaMikdash, of the house of God. And anything that, any order that comes from the house of God will be stamped with this seal and will have to be honored. It will be like the seal of the king. Now, after having pledged the supplies, and after having pledged the immediate support, and after having pledged that it's going to be quick, he adds, Dilema lehevi ktsaf amalchus malko v'noi, because why should there be anger against the reign of the king and his children? This goes back to what we said before, that he's doing this saying, I want God's support. So he says, do all of this and do it fast, I don't want God to be angry at me and my family. But then he adds to the powers of Ezra, Ulachom Mahodein, you are also informed, Dichol Kahanaya Velevaye Zamaraya Taraaya Nisinaya Ufalche Beis. Elaka Dina, he says, all the Kohanim, Levium, singers, gate openers, the Nisinim who do the work for the Beis HaMikdash, and anybody who works for the house of God, all of them, minda belova halach la shalit lemirmei aleihom, they are not subject to any of the royal taxes. This is the first that I know of tax exemption, unless you want to maybe go back to the priests that Yosef did it for in Egypt. All right, fine. But this is a tax exemption for the Beis HaMikdash and its employees. Professor Zer Kavod in the Dat Mikra edition says that this was standard practice among the rulers in Asia and Europe that they gave this sort of gift to the clay kodesh, so to speak, those who would work for their sacred buildings, and that's what's happening. That's what's happening here as well. The Rashba, interestingly, brings this. The Rashba in a Tshuva, Chelek Aleph Tshuva Peidalid, sees this exemption as proof that there should be an exemption for Torah scholars from taxes. He quotes this practice of King Artaxasta and says, you see, that's the way it ought to be done. Okay. Interesting. So, we're not done yet, though, in terms of the gifts given by King Artaxasta. He then says the following. The Aunt Ezra, and you, Ezra, kechochmas elokach tividach, many shoftin v'dayanin dile haven done in l'chol amadi ba'avar nahara l'chol yodei dase elokach. He says, you, Ezra, I am giving you the authority to appoint judges, and they will judge the nation that is living in that area according to the laws of your God. V'dila yadat tahudu'un. And if anybody there doesn't know the laws of your God, then you're supposed to teach them the laws of your God. So the simple read of this is appoint judges for Torah law and teach those who do not know. The Malbim is bothered because he uses the term Dayanim and he uses the word Shoftim, and he says Shoftim are the experts, these are the ones who know the law, and the Dayanim are the ones who are being appointed who don't know the law yet, and you're supposed to train them. However you want to read it. The Pasuk Chavav, sentence 26, the last sentence in the order, V'chol dila leheve ave dasa di alakach, and anybody who does not serve the law of your God, V'dasa di malka, and the law of the king, Asparna dina leheve misave mine. Let justice be wreaked upon him quickly. Hain lamos, whether to die. Hain lishroshav, lishroshi, or to uproot him, which is understood as a reference to cherem, to excommunication, heinal anash nichsin, whether in terms of punishing him financially, vla asurin, or for bans to be decreed upon him, all of this, whatever you believe is appropriate, is within your power. You can do whatever you want to do in order to punish anybody who doesn't serve your religion or the law of the king. That is still emphasized here, the importance of the law of the king. End of decree from Artaxasta, to which Ezra responds in sentence 27. Sentences 27 and 28 are going to wrap the chapter, and we switch from the third person narrator now to Ezra speaking first person, and he says in Hebrew, Baruch Hashem Elokei Avoseinu, blessed is the God of our Hashem, God of our ancestors, Asher Nasan Kizos Belev HaMelech, who put this type of thing into the heart of the king, Lefaeres Beis Hashem Asher Birushalayim, to glorify, to beautify the house of God in Jerusalem, Va'alai Hitaches Lifnei HaMelech V'yawatzav L'chol Sarei HaMelech HaGiborim, and he gave me Chesed, before the king, before the king's advisors, and all of the king's mighty men, v'ani hischazakti ki yad Hashem Elokai olai, and I strengthened myself like the hand of God upon me, meaning all of this is really from the hand of God. Ultimately, whatever they're doing here, whatever Artaxasta is doing that glorifies and beautifies the house, it's the house of God, it's the hand of God. V'ek b'tzami Yisrael rashim la'alos imi, and I gathered leaders from the people to ascend with me, that they should join my return to Israel, my group that is going. And in the beginning of the next chapter, we will see exactly who those leaders are who are going with Ezra.